Now, how do you feel about the advice that a lot of people give too, and that is to follow your passion?
Do we cuss on this show or not?
Yeah.
Okay, so I think that's bullshit.
Welcome to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with your host, Tom, the Digital Architect, Liebel. Are you tired of spending money on marketing efforts that produce little or no results? Unable to decide whether internet marketing is right for your business? Want to take your brand to the next level but are unsure of what steps to take next? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in their pursuit of growing a profitable business and learning actionable strategies on how they can outperform brands that are older, bigger, and stronger.
Hey, listener, it's another Wednesday morning and my last one in the States for quite some time. I will be slow traveling through Asia and Europe for the next 18 months or so. At least that's the initial plan. Next time we meet, I will be in Japan already, but due to the flight schedule, next week's episode might also be out a day or two early. Today's guest on Smart Brand Marketing is Barrett Brooks, and we go in depth on how someone can figure out what niche they should be targeting, and we also address the biggest challenge you will find initially when starting your business. Towards the end of the episode, Barrett delivers some killer productivity tips, so let's get into it.
Our customers are people who usually are starting their journey and saying, okay, I want to be an entrepreneur. I have a desire and a willingness to build a business starting now, or who have already started a business and now want to get more focused, want to niche down, want to truly build a sustainable income and lifestyle around their business, as opposed to just kind of playing business and acting like they're an entrepreneur when they're really not making any money. So our goal is essentially to help them on kind of three paths. The first is being sustainable from a financial standpoint. The second is being fulfilled on a personal level. And the third is building expertise around a niche or specific skill set that helps you provide real value to your customers. And we see those as kind of three different ways for you to advance in your business.
So let's start with the first one. Let's say someone is still working at a job and everyone around them is still following the old traditional script that, you know, you probably know. Well, how can you reboot or change your mind state to actually move away from that? Because a lot of people want to, but it's like, you know, if you're surrounded by the people with the old script, it's really hard. What advice can you give?
Yeah, no doubt. It's definitely hard. And I think one of the number one things that you have to do is surround yourself with people who have been where you want to go or are on a similar journey at a similar point in that journey. Because if all you're surrounded by are people who simply go to work to collect a paycheck and they're perfectly happy with the status quo and not really getting better at what they're doing, you're highly unlikely to create a successful business in that environment. And that's not to say you should quit your job today, because that income is probably going to be important for building whatever it is you want to build. But you do have to find communities where people understand the journey that you're on, I think.
Well, can you give some more concrete advice, though? Because I can imagine someone listening to this now, they're going from work, they leave their house at 6, they drive for 2 hours, they get there at, let's say, 8. They're sitting around the people that they know at the job. They leave maybe at 5, get home at 7, they cook, take care of the kids. You know, by the time they go to sleep, there's no way to build a network. And they...
Sure.
Yeah, so... How?
Yeah, so we got to acknowledge the fact that like there's life to live at the same time, right? I'll give you an example from my personal life, and then let's see if we can translate it to, you know, somebody with a family and everything else. So I don't have a family yet. I'm not married yet. I do have a longtime girlfriend. So we have, you know, an established relationship and we live together. So we do have a fairly normal lifestyle. But I don't have kids. So let me just give that caveat. A group that I joined here in Atlanta is called the Global Shapers. I think you've interviewed one of my colleagues from that group before. And that group is almost entirely consisted of social entrepreneurs, people building businesses, and or very high performers who have jobs working for someone else. And so every time I show up to one of those meetings, I'm being reminded of how that bar should be set in my own life and the kind of expectations that I should have based on the peer group that I want to maintain throughout my life. And so consistently being around those people in our pre-existing organized meetings for that group is a good benchmark for me. But then I also seek those people out outside of that, and I try to have them over for dinner, or I try to grab coffee whenever I can so that we can catch up. And that's been very helpful for me. The second thing that I do is I have a mastermind group that I run with three other guys who have been about at the same stage on their entrepreneurial journey as me all along. We all started off very early in the process where we all wanted to build businesses and kind of live that independent lifestyle. And we've met for 18 months, we met every week, and now we meet every other week for an hour to an hour and a half. And we call it a mastermind group, but really all that means is we get together every week and we talk about the biggest challenges we're facing in starting a business, our goals for the week ahead, or the 2 weeks ahead, and we hold each other accountable to what we said we were going to do last time. And we kind of go through some of the things that didn't happen and analyze why they didn't happen and how to avoid that in the future. And what that's done for all of us is it's given us a group that understands the journey that we're on, that has an objective opinion, but still cares about each other. And we've given permission to each other to share feedback, because most people give terrible feedback and it's very self-centered feedback for most people. Whereas this group is very much about, we understand your goals and we want to help you get there, and we're going to hold you accountable to that. So those are two things that I've done in my own life. So if we translate that to what does that look like if you're in a 9-to-5 job, it's going to be hard for a little while for you to identify people either in your immediate community locally or across the web, which makes it much easier to connect like we are now, to find individuals who have a similar mindset and are on a similar journey to you, and making a concerted effort to spend time with them either on calls once a month or through mastermind groups, or maybe by hosting a meetup where everyone can come together once every 4 to 6 weeks or something like that.
Meetups would probably be my last choice though, because it's usually a pitch fest, right? You know, people just giving out business cards and trying to get leads.
If you're going to do a meetup, to me, it needs to be a curated invite list, invite only, and a group that's smaller than 25 people, because then people aren't working the room, quote unquote, and they're not there to sell. They're there to connect and to hear each other's stories and to help each other succeed.
Yeah, I think it's still going to be challenging though. It's not easy. I know it wasn't easy for me when I was still working at a 9-to-5. It took me just going to Europe, actually, to Berlin, to this bigger conference to finally get my network to where I want it to be. So it's not an easy thing, but yeah, like you said, I think people need to start small and just kind of go up from there. Now, how do you feel about the advice that a lot of people give too, and that is to follow your passion?
So I think that's bullshit. I think that it's very important to believe in the mission of what you're doing, to care about the customers that you're trying to serve, to understand them and to want to serve them. But if we're saying, you know, you were passionate about baseball as a kid, therefore you should be a baseball player, that's terrible advice, right? And it leads people down paths that are very heartbreaking in the end. And so for me, I think there's this balance we can strike between having interest in a topic or a niche or a customer base and the business practicalities of being able to make money. And you have to balance the two if you're going to be successful. You can't just wildly follow whatever passion that you have. Some people are able to accomplish it, and that's great for them. And if you have the kind of passion that people are both able and willing to pay for, that's perfect. So the best thing to do is you definitely want to have interest in whatever your business topic is. What I always ask people as a qualifying question about whatever this topic that they're choosing or whatever customer base they're choosing is can you see yourself consistently trying to learn more and get better at whatever it takes over the course of 5 to 10 years in order to make this business successful? And if you're choosing a topic that you can't see yourself being interested in 5 years from now to continue to be the expert and to continue to grow in that space, you need to choose something else.
So how would you help someone find their niche? You know, a lot of businesses, they start off really broad, and after working with clients or just seeing how everything's running, they finally realize, oh, this group is a little better than the rest of these clients, right? So let's work with them. But without going through that 1, 2, or 3 year process of learning how to deal with different clients and then seeing how the market is shaping, how would you recommend to someone to just start off and go into a niche straight away and kind of maybe not lose so much time?
Well, on some level, you're always going to have to spend time figuring out if you've chosen correctly or if you're on the right path. And so you're always going to hone it over the course of time. And I'd say that if you're not willing to sacrifice a year to really understand whether the direction you're headed is right, or if you have the chops and the capacity to continue building in that direction, then you probably shouldn't be starting a business at all. But that being said, I think there are some things that you can do to cut that timeline down. The first one is it changes based on what stage you're at in your career. And what I mean by that is if you're 26 or 25 or 20, you can spend 10 years building up new expertise because you probably don't already have a bunch of expertise you've built throughout your career because it hasn't been very long at that point. And so if you're that young and you're setting out to start a business, you should look at the next 8 to 10 years as your opportunity to build expertise in an area that allows you to provide value over the course of your career to a customer base. Whereas if you're entering maybe that back third of your career or back quarter of your career, let's say you hit 50, 55, 60, and you've got 10, maybe 20 years left in your working life, it's a different story. At that point, you've got to look at what is the expertise you've already built and how can you leverage that for a group of customers who need that expertise in their businesses or in their own lives and are willing to pay you for it. And so I think that stage in your life kind of helps dictate what you're able to do at that point. Because if you're 55 and you want to start a whole new base of expertise, we know that it takes at least 3 to 5 years to really get good enough to provide true value to somebody in a particular business area or topic. So I don't know if that answers your question or not. It's kind of a if then.
It kind of leads into getting a little more specific with this, because like at that point, some people might think like, well, how do I hone in onto that niche in the first place? Because, you know, a lot of them are reactive, right? So that means they will jump from job to job, kind of look for opportunities. Maybe they'll get fired. They'll find something else because they need to. But in the back of their heads, they're like, well, I want to start something, but I don't know what to start.
That's a good question. So the place I always start from is what do you want your life to look like? At a high level, what does your lifestyle look like across family, friends, business, finances, all of those different areas? You have to take a inventory of what's the end goal here before you even start talking about what's my niche. Because if all you're doing is saying, I want to be an entrepreneur because that's sexy and it looks fun and it's probably easier than working for someone else, then you're delusional, because being an entrepreneur is very, very difficult. So that's the first thing, is what's the lifestyle you want? And how do your entrepreneurial goals factor into that? And so then we can analyze all of your opportunities through that lens of, will this help me get closer to the lifestyle that I'm trying to lead, or will it take me farther away from that? So if we have that lens in place, then we can take a step back and say, okay, what are the groups of people that I know intimately? And so that could be a type of business owner, that could be a type of person, that could be a specific people at a particular life stage. These are all different customer segments that you can niche down to, so that you can really hit on their pain points, their specific pain points, which is really the key. If your customer base isn't small enough and focused enough, you're not going to be able to speak their language and understand their problems and sell to that group, because they will sense that you're not for them. You're trying to be for everyone. Coke can be for everyone. Philips can be for everyone. You cannot be for everyone. And so you have to realize that going into it. And it's going to suck. Choosing is going to suck. But at the end of the day, you need to choose a group of people that you can identify with and that you can invest in over time and that you have enough interest in to be excited about.
So how would you find out the pain points of a group?
There's kind of two approaches to this, right? One is you use conjecture and you say, okay, theoretically, people in this group, what does their life look like? Who is my customer persona? And so you kind of filter all of these different aspects of what you think this group of people looks like in aggregate. And I think that's a really bad approach, because what you end up getting is a quote unquote average of this entire group of people. And it's just not true. There's no one person that actually looks like that. And so for me, what I always encourage people to do is go out and find individuals in your local community that you can sit down with face to face, or at least on a phone call, and have a specific conversation with them about their life, and specifically about their life or business related to the problems that you think you can solve for them based on your expertise. Let's say, Tom, you're in my target audience. And so I've kind of defined who my group is that I'm trying to serve. And I know that I have expertise in business strategy and business coaching. I want to do business coaching for people like you, Tom. Well, we're going to go have coffee and I'm going to get to know, what do you do in your business in detail? And what are the biggest problems that you're struggling with? And that starts out by taking an approach of saying, okay, this meeting is specifically for me to learn from you. You are the teacher in this meeting and I'm the apprentice. And all my job is to ask questions to get you to tell me as much as you can about your business in a way that is non-threatening to you. If I make you feel like you're being sold to, if I make you feel uncomfortable, like I'm trying to get something from you, then you're not going to share openly. And so if I can take an approach of, I'm going to speak as little as possible and get you to share as much as possible in a comfortable setting, then I'm going to walk away with insights I didn't even know I could get from you.
Let's say someone is at a point where they did start a business though, not just someone trying to quit their job. And they're selling marketing services.
Yep.
The first couple clients all came from referrals, and then they got a couple maybe through leads on their website. And they have, let's say, 12 to 15 clients, and it's all over the board, right? There's a couple bigger companies, small companies, mechanics, boutiques, something like that. How do you niche down for someone like that? How do you actually find a group that you think will, you know, that's the group I'm going to go after? Because I know that's the way that it's the best way to do it. But I think for a lot of people, it's hard to just pick something.
It's very hard, but it's the perfect situation. Because now what you've done is you've kind of stumbled into a point in your business where you've worked with a wide variety of people. And in some ways, you've gotten lucky because you've made money while you've been doing that, right?
Yeah.
But the point now is that you've seen enough clients to have someone who's your ideal client out of all of those, or at least someone who's been the best out of the people that you've served so far. And so let's say you've had 15 clients to this point, and you can think of three that paid you what you were worth, that had a good communication structure with you, that were respectful, and that you enjoyed working with. That tells you something about what you want your business to look like, because however you evaluate what makes a good customer based on your previous experience, that's the people that you want to go after more of. And so let's say one of your clients was a home builder who builds very high-end homes for rich people in Atlanta along the Chattahoochee River. It was an absolutely delightful experience to work with them, to build their website and to help them with their marketing services or whatever it is that you do. What you take away from that is to say, okay, what are all of the aspects of that customer relationship that made it a good relationship for me as the service provider? Maybe it's the industry, maybe it's the type of person that the customer was, maybe it's the amount of money that that person makes, therefore the amount of money that they're willing to pay you. So you make a list of all these qualities and you say, okay, where do people like this, who are my ideal customer, hang out? Or where do they go right now when they're looking for something like what I provide? And that's going to look very different probably from the way that you're selling right now, because you've got this broad approach that's just attracting anyone that you can get referred to you. And so now what you're doing is you're creating a gateway to the ideal customers instead of just anyone that will pay you. And you say, okay, I'm looking for people like Billy Bob over there who builds custom high-end homes. I like that high-end home market. I like people who do business in an honest way and pay attention to detail for their customers and do a high quality work in the houses that they build. Okay, perfect. So now you know exactly the kind of person or customer that you're looking for in your business. And instead of asking all 15 of your customers for referrals, you're going to ask Billy Bob for referrals because Billy Bob knows more people like him. And then your proactive efforts are going to target that same kind of person. So now you're going to target all of your marketing efforts towards high-end home builders in Atlanta who build along the river. And there's probably 25 of those. And if you can do websites for all 25 of those, or provide marketing services for all 25 of those, you're going to have a reputation in that particular industry for helping that kind of person build their business better. And now you have the ability to expand outside of Atlanta. But until you're good in Atlanta, you need to not go national, because it's too hard to build a reputation that way.
I think one of the main problems I'm seeing in that is a knowledge gap. So if someone attracted 15 clients through all these efforts, you know, just getting leads and referrals, and now you tell them to just go after one of those type of clients, they're probably thinking, well, I don't even know how I really got that client. It just kind of came from all my efforts. It's really different from trying to rank your website and get everyone through the door and then go after one specific market.
Yeah, and it's terrifying, because what you're asking someone to do is to sacrifice short-term gain. If you have new clients coming to you, or new potential clients coming to you through other referrals who do not meet your ideal customer profile or your niche that you're trying to get into, the best thing you can do to grow your business in the direction that you want to grow it is to say no to those people so that you can say yes to the right clients. But that's very threatening in the short term, because it means you have to go out and proactively deliver on new clients that are meeting your customer profile that you want to go after. And I'm not going to say that that's not a valid argument, but what I am going to say is that 5 years from now, you'll thank yourself today for having put in that kind of work. We've got a great interview that we did at my company called Fizzle with a guy named Chris Johnson, who runs a company called Simplifilm. And what Simplifilm does is they do book marketing trailers and or sizzle reels for authors and thought leaders. And they've carved out this great niche where they're working with only best-selling authors, paying them at least $10,000 per video. And that's who comes to them now. And Chris has this great concept called 10-10-10. It goes like this. He says, who are the 10 clients that you want to work with in your business? What are the 10 projects that you would like to do? So like types of projects. And then the third one, I think, is like, what are 10 companies that you'd like to work with? So it's like individuals, projects, and companies. And what this does for you is you say you have to identify 10 of each that you want to go after. And then it gives you a roadmap to say, when our business is doing extremely well and we've niched down in the right way, we are landing this kind of client, this kind of project, and this kind of company to work with. But your job then is to go out and do the scary work, the hard work that is not easy for anyone to go sell that kind of person. You can't just wait on them to come to you, especially at first.
So how would you go about that? Initially, you got the list down. You have no idea how to contact these people, what to say to them. Because like I said, up to this point, you've been getting all your clients through referrals or, you know, came in through their website. So you've never done this type of stuff before.
Right. This is probably the hardest transition you're ever going to make, is from responding to anyone that will pay you to proactively seeking out the people that you want to pay you. And getting over the hump, I think, is the biggest challenge that you're going to face in creating a sustainable business that will last, you know, the rest of your career if you want it to. Number one, you have to realize that it's going to be trial and error. Number two, you have to realize that more people are going to say no than are going to say yes. But the more people that you hear no from, the more likely you are to hear yes from somebody. And so what I mean by that is, if your goal every week is to hear three no's from potential clients, eventually you're going to sell someone that says yes. And the reason is that it's simply a law of numbers, because the more no's you get, the more chances you're getting to pitch yourself, to pitch your services, and to get better at the message you're sending to them and the way that you're building that relationship. And so there's no universal sales advice for every industry, but if you start out by contacting people with the intention of building a relationship that is not predicated on the fact that you need to sell them today, but rather that you want them to become a client when they're ready to be your client, I think that's a winning approach, number one. And number two, you've got to get your messaging down so that it targets this type of person who needs this type of service. And then number three, you need to understand, what are the words that your ideal customers use when they are ready to be sold your service or your product? And what I mean by that is, they're going to have a specific set of challenges or problems that they're facing at the exact point that they're ready to hire a person like you. And you need to become an absolute pro at identifying what those problems and challenges are, so that you're only pitching or selling at the point when that person actually needs you, because that's when it's a win-win situation. When you're forcing someone or hard selling someone, it's a win-lose situation. You win and they lose, and it makes everyone uncomfortable.
Overcoming being reactive to going into the proactive mode requires a lot of grit. And that's something you talked about in the TED video, which I will link to from the show notes. How can someone go about increasing their grit?
I mean, the simplest answer is to wake up and do the most difficult, emotionally challenging work every single day. If you're not doing that emotionally challenging, scary, difficult work every day, then you're not focusing on the areas of your business that are most important, I don't think. If you wake up and you just follow a task list that allows you to get the work done and not be challenged, then you're not delegating properly as a business owner. You're not leveraging resources properly, in my opinion. So the challenge is to wake up in the morning and say, what is the most difficult thing I could do today? Maybe that's your sales phone calls. Maybe that's dealing with a customer who's not paying you. Maybe that's doing research on your ideal customers. But whatever that challenging work is, you have to wake up every day and do that first, no matter what else is happening, because that's both important and it's urgent. Because if you put it off, you're putting off your own growth and your own grit. The simple fact of the matter is that grit is difficult, and that's why it's called grit, because it's uncomfortable and it's never fun for anybody. And the only way to tackle that is to do it before your mind creates all kinds of excuses not to do it.
The one book that comes to mind is Eat That Frog by Brian Tracy.
Yeah, that's the exact concept, right? Get up and eat the frog, even though it's unpleasant. And once you've done that, you've already won the day. Whatever you do the rest of the day is icing on the cake, because it's bonus to the actual hard work that you're meant to be doing as a business owner.
The one thing I found that people do go off a list a lot, right? And Sometimes it's even hard to decide for someone what is the most important thing for me to do the next morning. Because they see a list of 20 to 30 things, and then coaches, they tell them to, you know, whatever you haven't done today, just throw onto the list tomorrow and start from there. But how do you go into the next morning knowing exactly the most important thing that you have to accomplish?
Yeah, I think it's a really important question. And you're right. I think people struggle with it a lot. And I think a lot of coaches or business advisors or productivity experts give bad advice on this. We have a productivity course at Fizzle, and the high level concept that we talk about comes from Warren Buffett, and he calls it AAAC. The exercise we have people do is we have them write down every project or accomplishment that they would like to see happen in their business or life over the next 2 to 3 years. Okay. So imagine you, Tom, you sit down and you say, okay, for the podcast, for my business, for everything that's going on in my professional life, what do I want to have happen in 2 or 3 years? And you write down literally every single idea that you've had in your head at any point about your business. And then you take a step back, maybe you step away from it for 24 hours, 12 hours, whatever, just take a step back for a little while. And you come back to it and you say, okay, if I had to prioritize these accomplishments and projects that I want to have happen over the next 2 to 3 years, which ones are most important? You have to get to a list that is prioritized in order and say, okay, I'm going to take these top 3 to 5 projects or accomplishments, and I'm going to put them over on their own list. And everything else makes up what Warren Buffett calls the AAAC list. And what AAAC stands for is avoid at all costs. And the reason it stands for avoid at all costs is that if you let those projects that aren't as important to you as the top 3 to 5 distract you, then you're never going to accomplish anything. And so the goal of this is to say, until I've finished those top 3 to 5 priorities for me, I can't do any of the other stuff on that AAAC list. And only once I've completed those top 3 to 5 can I go back to my list and decide what's next. So now if you take your 3 to 5 projects that are the ones that you are going to focus on over the next 2 to 3 years, you need to create a plan for them. And the way we encourage people to do that is to say, number one, what is the outcome that I'm looking for from this project or accomplishment? What is the point? Number two is ideally you're going to establish a ship date or when it's going to be complete. And that gives you some time frame that you can work on because we're all procrastinators. Number three is to establish a business relevance. So how does this project or accomplishment relate to the overall vision for where you're taking your business? And then you're going to go through and you're going to write down every single task or step that it would take to complete this project or to get to this accomplishment. And if you don't know what those are, your first task might be research what it's going to take to make this happen. Now what you've got is you've got 3 to 5 projects or accomplishments that are detailed from outcome, which ties back to why is this important to you, business goal, which ties back to why is it important to the business, and every task you need to complete. And they're probably in order as well. And so your job is to every day do between 1 and 3 things that help you get closer to making those projects happen or making those accomplishments happen that are the most important to you. You don't roll something over to the next day. Those project lists just are as they are. And those are the important things. So the other thing I have to acknowledge is that there's some ongoing work that's just maintenance in the business. And those are those task level things. And that's what you should do between like 2 and 5 o'clock every day when your energy is waning and you just need something to plug away at. But the last concept I'll share here in this monologue is we have this video that we call CEO mode versus worker bee mode. CEO mode is when you're kind of up at that high level, defining what the tasks are, looking at outcomes for projects and evaluating how far you've come and how far you have to go. That should happen about once every 1 to 2 weeks. You get into CEO mode for 1 hour to 2 hours. And you evaluate all your projects, decide if the tasks are as they should be, and see if you need to change direction in any way. Every other time throughout the week, you need to be in worker bee mode. And your only job then is to follow the direction that the CEO set in their 2 hours of CEO time. And that's the biggest challenge as a business owner, is moving between those two and not questioning what you do during CEO mode when you just need to be working.
Yeah, that's very different from what most people are probably doing. You did mention doing the kind of nonsense between 2 and 5. What routine did you find works best for you? Because when someone's working by themselves from home, sitting in front of a laptop especially, their routine can go crazy.
The number one thing that other successful business people have said, and that I agree with, is you have to work out every day. That is probably not the answer that you were looking for or expecting, but if you're not taking care of yourself physically, then you're not at your optimum level of performance at work either. And if you think you don't have time to work out, then that probably needs to be your top priority, because what you're doing is you're losing time and focus because you're not physically okay right now. So that's number one. But number two is you have to acknowledge that we're not made to work for 8 hours straight or 12 hours straight. So you have to have some cadence to the way that you're scheduling your work throughout the day. And the best way I've found to do that is to work in 90-minute chunks. If you really wanted to get detailed, you could go with this Pomodoro method where you work for 25 minutes, take a 5-minute break. And so you have 3 30-minute chunks per 90-minute work session where you're 25 minutes on, 5 minutes off, et cetera, et cetera. And then at the end of a 90-minute chunk, you take 25 to 30 minutes off, stretch, take a walk around the block, and then come back and get right to it. So throughout a given day, you'd probably have 3 to 4 of these 90-minute sessions where you're really focused. You turn off the internet. You work on only what you need to work on right now from your task list. That's in an ideal world. Does anyone do that every day? No. And so what you have to figure out is what is a process that you can maintain each and every day that works for you, that matches your energy levels and allows you to get your best work done, because it's going to be personal and it's got to be something you own, not that somebody prescribes to you.
I actually like that answer more than what I was expecting. Where can people find you if they want to reach out or maybe just see what you're working on?
They can find me at fizzle.co. They can reach out at barrett@fizzle.co. It's B-A-R-R-E-T-T. And I also do some personal writing on a site that I'm building right now, which is barrettbrooks.com.
And listener, I know you're sitting on your ass not doing anything. Get out, do some exercise, and you'll feel much better. Thank you for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, please help out by leaving a review on iTunes, and don't forget to hit the subscribe button. If you have any questions, hit me up in the comments on smartbrandmarketing.com. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with Tom, the Digital Architect Liebel. For more tips, tricks, and interviews, come visit smartbrandmarketing.com. That's smartbrandmarketing.com. And join the newsletter. It's free.